This is Tommy Hooker, and you found Pure Country, KEQX, 89.7, Stephenville, Hamilton, and Carlton.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX, 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
We want to welcome you to our radio program this afternoon. My name is Kerry Clark, and I have, of course, with me this afternoon, Brother David Harrison. We're glad that he's back in town, and look forward to our radio program this afternoon. If you have the opportunity, we want to encourage you to open in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, in just a few moments, we're going to be reading together verse number 17, Colossians 3, and verse 17, so we want to encourage you to open in your Bible. If you can do that, I know that some of you may be driving home, and we don't want you to do anything that would be dangerous, but if you have the opportunity, open in your Bible to Colossians chapter 3. We'll read verse 17 in just a moment. If you've been following along in our radio program, we're looking at seven keys to personal growth, or we might even call it seven keys to spiritual growth. And we've talked about loyalty, responsibility. We've talked about courage, determination, initiative, and orderliness. And we've even begun a discussion about decisiveness. And that's what we're going to continue our discussion about this evening. We've had a couple of weeks that we really didn't get into that topic because we had some great phone calls, and one of those phone calls was from Don, and Don talked about why he baptized infants, and so we spent a lot of time in looking at that, and hopefully we've come to the truth on that particular subject. David is going to be reading Colossians chapter 3 in just a moment. Before he does that, we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, and if you want to join in the participate with us on the air, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's area code 254-445-2473, and also you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. What we were talking about the last time we were together and we were discussing this was that in this area of decisiveness, that when I have made a decision that I know is right, David, we pointed out that right is not based on what I think or what I feel. Mm-hmm. It's based on the Word of God. And so when I have made a decision that I know is right, David, I should never reconsider that decision.
No, not if it's right.
Not if it's right. That doesn't mean, David, and of course we all understand that, doesn't mean we can't restudy an issue. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with going back into the Word of God and studying baptism and try to even dig out more information. But David, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that baptism is for the remission of sins.
Right.
And so when I have drawn that conclusion from the Word of God that baptism is for the remission of sins, I should never reconsider that decision that
absolutely
I made.
Right.
And we could go into a lot of areas in our life and understand that when God says that marriage is for one man and one woman and it's supposed to be for life, that's where we stand.
Absolutely.
And we should never back off of that.
Right.
That's what we're talking about, friends, when we're talking about decisiveness. And David, I'll go ahead and you might have a couple of words to say, and
okay,
then Colossians 3 and verse 17.
Well, thank you, Kerry. And what I want to do, first of all, is get the definition of decisiveness, having the power or the quality of deciding, just like you said just a moment ago. Decisiveness is described as a characteristic of high-performing men and women. And with that definition and with that description, now I want to read Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So every time we are making a decision, whatsoever we do, whether it be in word or whether it be in deed, that would be action, we are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, that would be by the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, it's very interesting, Kerry, that the verse right before that says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now, if the word of Christ is dwelling in us richly, we don't have to reach far to get it.
That's right.
It's right there handy. Yeah. There's another passage that I'd like to point out in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, mm-hmm. where it says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart." Now, that's the spiritual heart, the mm-hmm. same place that the word of Christ is dwelling in us richly. "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give an answer to mm-hmm. everyone that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you." Now, that is going to cause us to have decisiveness. But the key here is the standard from which we draw our decision-making potential.
Yes.
It's got to be from the authority of Christ. And we have the revealed will of Christ in our hand. It is the Word of God.
That's right.
Now, the standard has got to be right. The only way that we can have the right standard is to go right back to Jesus the Christ. Now, a lot of people in this world today use people like Oprah Winfrey for a standard. Or in a little bit different sense, we find a lot of high school kids today using the high school coach
for a
sounding board to find out what is right and how to do things and how to make a decision, or they'll go to somebody that they have great admiration for, maybe because they made a lot of money in some particular place, and they'll go for their standard of right so that they can make a decision, and it may be so far off of the Word of God that it throws them out there in a way that they can hardly ever get back.
Yeah. You know, David, it's interesting you bring that up. Yesterday I was teaching the junior high and high school Bible class and there in Hamilton, and there was a young lady that was telling about in the English, her English class, they've been reading a book, and they've been reading it chapter by chapter and discussing it in class. And this book was set, and she told me the name. I don't remember off the top of my head. But the book was set during the Vietnam War. And this man that wrote the book wrote as if he was a Vietnam veteran. And he talked about all the atrocities that he committed while he was over in Vietnam. And she didn't go into all the details, but we've all seen those stories, mm-hmm. Claiming that American soldiers had raped, women and pillaged and murdered and done all this. And this guy wrote this book. And then at the end of the book, he said, "Now, I never was in Vietnam and I made all that up."
Wow.
And the teacher said, "You can learn as much from a lie as you can learn from the truth." So what she said was that these young people had been told that the Vietnam War, that we were the aggressors, that we were rapists, murderers, you know, and all this kind of stuff, which was not true. But she said, "You can learn as much from a lie as you can from the truth." That's what's being taught, folks, in our public school systems. That scares me, David.
Well, sure it does. And not only are we having jaded views of things like that, we have jaded views of morality by people that there are those in the United States of America today, Kerry, who will absolutely not miss Oprah Winfrey coming on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Oprah Zone, you know, and everybody got to get home to go to watch Oprah.
Yeah.
Well, now, that's where they're getting their advice. Some people get their advice from The View. Some people get their advice from the news. But there is only one standard of right. There's
that's
only
right.
one standard of truth, and it is the Word of God. And when mm-hmm. we get beyond that, then we have taken our spiritual lives into our own hands.
Yes.
Because we have gotten away. The key to this whole study is the key to spiritual growth.
Yes.
Now, we cannot grow spiritually doing falsehoods.
That's right.
And believing falsehoods. There is absolutely no way to grow spiritually. You cannot, contrary to what that teacher said, you cannot learn how to grow spiritually from a lie.
That's right. You know, David, it reminds me, and I don't think we've actually talked about this in our discussion, but you remember in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days mm-hmm. and 40 nights, mm-hmm. and the Bible says, you know, afterwards he was hungry, and then the Bible says the tempter, and that's Satan, came right. to him and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. David, Jesus didn't sit there and think, well, you know, I am hungry. And that boy, a loaf of bread sure would be good right now. And if I had some peanut butter, you know, slap on there and a little jet, boy, that'd be good. But what did Jesus do?
He resorted to the standard of truth.
He said, it is written, man right. shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. David, that's what we're talking about, being at the point in our spiritual life that when we're confronted with a temptation like Jesus was, immediately the Bible pops into our mind and we said, well, it's written.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Satan takes him up to the holy city, Jerusalem, sets him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, well, if you're the Son of God, why don't you cast yourself down? Now, watch this. And folks, I want you to drive this point home. Even the devil can quote Scripture.
Absolutely.
Listen to what he says. For it is written. This is the devil talking. It is written. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And what Jesus said in verse number 7 of Matthew 4, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What Satan was doing was lying.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible tells us in John chapter 8, verse 44, that Satan is a liar from the beginning. The truth does not abide in him. And you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, or Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve are put in the garden, they're perfect, they're sinless, and then the old tempter raises his head and he says to Eve, well, it'd be okay to eat that fruit, wouldn't
mm-hmm.
it? And then, of course, here's the point, folks. She believed that lie. She ate of that fruit, and then she gave it to Adam, and he ate of it, and then both of them were lost. They were separated from God because they had sinned. Now, don't tell me you can learn as much from a lie as you can from the truth.
Well, that's one of the problems in religion today. Many, many places teach that it is just as good for you to believe a lie as it is the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, so-and-so over there, they're doing such and thus, but we're doing this over here.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't make any difference whether they're doing it right or whether we're doing it right, because everybody's going to go to heaven anyway,
yeah.
and it doesn't make any difference whether you believe the lie or you believe the truth. Everybody's going to go to heaven anyway. And that is what is being taught. That is the falsehood that is being thrown out there in the world today. You talk about confusion.
That's right.
Confusion. You can't glean anything profitable from a lie.
That's right.
It's just not there.
And folks, the number to call, and I hope you'll join in on this discussion, is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Back to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. Then the devil takes Jesus up to an exceeding high mountain, and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto Jesus, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You know what, David? The devil's lying there too.
Yeah, yes.
These kingdoms don't belong to him. They belong to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may be serving him, but they still belong to God.
Right.
And so he says, well, Jesus, I'll give you all of this stuff. And Jesus said in verse number 10, get thee hence, Satan. Now, listen to this, folks. For it is written. Jesus said, it is written. It is written again. And it is written. Now, listen to what he said. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, David, there is an exact illustration of what we're talking about that we have studied the Bible. We know what, and that's the problem with most folks today, David. We haven't studied the Bible. We don't know the Bible. And when Satan tempts us, and of course we're not talking about Satan standing there in front of us, because he's got all his little angels to do his bidding. And so it may be in the form of an attractive woman. It may be in the form of some kind of drug. Or something that is illicit, and so Satan puts it there and says, "Now, Carrie, come on, it'd be okay if you did that. That's a lie."
Right.
And so I've got to know enough of the Bible. Do you remember Psalm 33 and verse 4? The word of the Lord is right.
Right.
I love that verse. The word of the Lord is right, friends. And so when I'm faced with that decision at that precise moment, a verse of Scripture ought to pop into my head.
Right.
And I ought to be able to say, "Well, here's what the Bible says." And David, that's the only way to have that ability to have studied the Word of God, know what the Bible says, and then be able to answer it with the Bible. And that's the only way we're going to whip Satan.
Absolutely the only way. As we mentioned just a moment ago, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17,
right.
"And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." We're talking about being able to make decisions.
Yeah.
If we're going to do things by the authority of Jesus, you cannot do that if you don't know what the authority is.
That's right.
And we get back up there again to verse 16, where he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now, there is no way that the word of Christ can dwell in us richly if the only time we ever open our Bible is Sunday morning during Bible class. There's no richness there.
No.
You may be skimming the top,
yeah.
but you to dwell richly in one's heart, there's got to be a dedicated effort, to open the book and to see what God has to say to each and every one of them, because it's very personal.
Yes.
This whole book is very personal,
yeah.
And we can put ourselves right in the midst of it, and I know, Carrie, that in order to make decisions, we've got to have that. The Bible tells us if we don't have the information, we can't make the decision.
That's
We're talking about growing spiritually. Now, I know for a fact that everybody on the face of this earth got 20 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
We spend more than that reading the local newspaper. And,
yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you read the Stephenville newspaper, you're going to have to stay in the want ads a long time, spend 20 minutes in there. Still, people do.
You ought to see Hamilton.
if you can spend 20 minutes a day, that's not an awful lot to ask for somebody that died for you.
Yeah.
But that's a start.
Yeah.
But 20 minutes a day. Get these things put square dab in your mind where you can pull on these things, pull on these resources in order to make the decisions. Now, we're going to get into it in just a little bit when we're talking about some young adults and some high school kids having to make decisions, and we're talking about making decisions quickly.
Yes.
Being regretful about not being able to make a decision, but making a decision quickly. And to do that, now I'll guarantee you, Satan has got his literature right up there at the top front of the mind.
That's right.
And the Lord's literature is somewhere along the back, if it's in there at all.
That's right.
In many instances. And this is what we're dealing with here: spiritual growth, and it has to take place in each and every one of us.
Yes. You know, David, it's amazing to me. We have people, and I hear it all the time. Well, you know, I can't study the Bible because it's written in a way that we can't understand it. Well, that's a lie from Satan.
Mm-hmm.
We can understand the Bible. And David, when we say we can understand the Bible, the implication of that is that we can understand it alike.
Absolutely.
Because if a teacher teaches their class that 2 + 2 = 4, everybody that understands that is going to leave that class saying 2 + 2 = 4. Now, if little Johnny comes back tomorrow and says, "Now, teacher, I thought you said 2 + 2 = 5, the teacher would say, "No, wait a minute, little Johnny, you misunderstood what I said. I said 2 + 2 = 4, not 2 + 2 = 5. Now, friends, I know that sounds like an oversimplification. But David, it is just that simple with the Word of God.
Right.
Either baptism is for the remission of sins, or it's not for the remission of sins. It's got to be those two.
Mm-hmm.
There's no middle ground. And so we study the Bible, and we come to Acts 2:38, and it says, wait a minute, baptism is for the remission of sins. So I don't ever have to wonder about that. Baptism is for the remission of sins.
Right. And you don't have to... It is a crying shame today that even at the very top of our leadership in this wonderful and great country that we have, that we have a man that is supposed to be a man of integrity who would ask the question, well, it just depends on what your definition of is.
Yeah.
You know, when instead of being truthful, we're always trying to hide. I'll guarantee you, we got too many lawyers running this country.
Amen to that.
And the lawyers, they want to twist and rest and twist around what the truth is.
Yeah.
And we're warned about that. We're warned throughout the Bible that there will be a resting of the scriptures. And that things are going to come that ought not to come. But if we have the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly,
that's right.
That's not going to happen. Folks, it's just about time to take a break. And if you'll give us a call at 254-445-2473, we'd be glad to answer any question or entertain any comment that you might have. And it doesn't have to be about what we're talking about. We are going to try to get through with this decisiveness today, though.
We're going to do it.
Yeah, we are going to do it. So we'll see you on the other side of the break.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Barkhites Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.archivecoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Harris and Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here with Kerry Clark. And this is our call-in talk show. The number to call is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. And we are considering the last of the seven keys to personal growth, and it is decisiveness. And it is that having the power or the quality of deciding. And Carrie, you and I talked just a moment ago about how it is that we have to have the proper foundation in order to make the right decisions. And right. And the standard has got to be the standard of right. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then we back it up one verse. And where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And it is from this word of God that we are to make our decisions so that we can grow spiritually. Now, during the break, just right before we came back on, we've got a phone call. We've got a caller on the line. And caller, if you will give us your first name and your comment or your question, please.
Yeah, this is Barry.
Yes, Barry.
I'm looking at a couple of scripture here, and we were talking about people that aren't decisive and why they're not.
Mm-hmm.
I think 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 addresses why they're not.
Okay.
In that they, starting in verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, mm-hmm. but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And so that is one of the problems I feel like that the world has today, is they know what they want the Bible to say before they go to it. They'll pick and choose, or they will allow someone to direct them. And it tells us over in 2 John chapters 10 and 11, verses 10 and 11, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, mm-hmm. the doctrine of Christ, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for who greets him shares in his evil deeds. And I'll hang up and listen to y'all's comments on that.
Well, I think that's a great comment that you bring. I'm glad you brought up the fact that 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 especially, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
That's right.
Now, sound doctrine is what we've been talking about all along.
Right.
It is, you know, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, there are a lot of horse folks around here, a lot of cattle people around here. When you have a horse for sale, if you are going to sell that horse and be a reputable individual in selling that horse, you're going to guarantee that horse to be sound.
Yes.
And that means healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That means that what you see is what you get, and there's nothing undercover here.
Yeah.
It is sound, healthy merchandise that you're going to receive. Now, when we're talking about the doctrine, we're talking about true, healthy, sound, fit doctrine, fit for learning, fit for making decisions. But here the warning comes from the Holy Spirit through Paul writing to Timothy, they will not endure the sound doctrine. It's exactly what we've been talking about.
That's right.
And without that sound doctrine, you can't make a decision that is going to be pleasing to God.
Well, David, you know, we like to play with words sometimes, and you've probably all heard the story about the guy that had a horse for sale, and this guy went to buy the horse, and he said, now I want to tell you, that horse don't look so good. And the guy looked him over, and he said, man, he looks great. And he said, I'm telling you, the horse don't look good. And he said, well, I think he's a good horse. So he brought him back the next day and said, this horse is blind. He said, I told you right up front he was blind. He said, you didn't tell me that horse was blind. He said, I told you the horse don't look good.
It should have said sound.
And we've got a lot of people that like to play games with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they like, as Barry was saying, they like to come up with these little cute sayings. Well, we can't understand the Bible alike. If you don't have a certain amount of education, you can't understand it. But all that's lies
mm-hmm.
from Satan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, folks, what we've got to do is to make our decisions based on not what I think or what I feel, but on the Word of God. And then, David, we must, if we're going to be successful as children of God, we've got to make decisive commitments if we want to have success in the future.
Right.
In other words, we've got to have these things already made up in our mind and not wait until the moment when we're faced with a decision to make it. Now in Daniel chapter 6, and I hope y'all have your Bibles, in Daniel chapter 6, you remember that there was a decree that was made by Darius who was the prince over this country, or the king over this country. And he said, now nobody can pray unless they pray to the God of the Medes and the Persians.
And by the way, that is not Jehovah God, the creator of the universe.
That's exactly right. So what happened was, it says in verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now watch this, as he did aforetime, or as he did before. David, here is a decree, a law that comes down that says you can't pray to Jehovah God.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel could have gotten the closet and prayed, and we would have said, well, you know, he was just doing, you know, he was still praying to God. He was just being wise in the way that he did it.
Right.
But he doesn't do it like that. He, just like he always did, with his windows open, facing toward Jerusalem, and he prays 3 times in a day. Now, David, we know that Daniel did that because the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, that David had made up his mind that he was going to do what was right. In Daniel 1 and verse 8, it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat or with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What Daniel did, David, is he made a decision, I will not defile myself. That decision carried through for the rest of his life.
Right.
And when it came time, he made that commitment. He said, I'm not going to do anything that's a violation of God's law, Jehovah God, and then he stuck with it for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and I think the key here is that he purposed in his heart. Now, that's his spiritual heart again.
That's
let
right.
The word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. This is exactly what Daniel did. Now, he had the law of Moses to abide by.
Yeah.
We've got the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the New Testament to abide by, but still it's got to abide in our heart. Caller, you're on the line. Would you give us your question or comment and your first name?
Yeah, this is Jason.
Yes, Jason.
I was thinking about what you're using for your text here, Colossians 3 and verse 17.
Yes, sir.
That first word in that verse is the key. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever you do. When you make that decision, there's the first decision you have to make is that the Bible is right.
Amen.
That's the absolute first decision you have to make. You can't progress forward until you make that decision.
That's right.
Now, once you make that decision, and make that decision to become a Christian based upon what the Bible teaches, then everything you do is decided based upon that first and second decision right there.
That's exactly right.
And it reminds me of a story that I heard as a kid about a man who was an elder in a church over in East Texas. And the football team in the local community where he lived made it to the playoffs for the first time in about 30 years. And, of course, high school football is a religion in Texas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but the church there had always scheduled their gospel meeting for the first week of the playoffs because they knew the Panthers weren't going to make it to the playoffs. And, you know, it's the first time in 30 years that they've made it. And there were a couple boys standing on the back step of the church house on the Thursday evening of the meeting, talking about what they were going to do on Friday night because there's a football game or there's a meeting. And they looked at this old brother Martin, who was an avid football fan, and said, well, what are you going to do? And he looked at them and he said, boys, that's a decision I made about 45 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knew his decision was made when he decided that the Bible was right,
mm-hmm,
and that he was a Christian, and that he was going to do whatever the Bible taught.
You know, Jason, that goes back to that first key that we talked about in this series, and that was loyalty.
Right.
You know, if I am loyal to God And that's what you're talking about. I'm going to be Lord. You know, and I'm like that guy you talked about being raised over in East Texas. You know, I love football. But when it comes Sunday, I'm going to be worshiping God. I don't care if the Cowboys are playing in the Super Bowl.
Right. Well, for me, it's not the Cowboys, but anyway, I'll probably get home out of Texas.
Well, wait a minute here now.
You can still repent. No, we appreciate your call, Jason.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. And that is a very, very important statement there, that loyalty.
That's right.
As we have been going along here, Kerry, these have all been building blocks to our personal growth, and we are supposed to grow. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. And these are keys to helping us grow. We are expected to grow. We're not expected to get to be 60 years old and still be wondering where the book of Malachi is.
That's right.
We're supposed to grow in our knowledge. When you don't have to be an expert, but you ought to at least know what belongs in the Old Testament, what belongs in the New Testament, and at least know where you can go to look it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But increasingly, we find people that just flat do not know the book. And because they don't know the book, they can't make the decisions. Now, we're over here, and you brought up this commitment, the decisive commitment to make a future decision, a decision for future success.
That's right.
And one of the great problems that we have with young people today, and I'm not trying to pick on the young people of this era. This has been going on since forever.
Yeah.
I mean, even before I was a young kid, it was going on. If you talk about the future to most young kids, they're talking about December.
Not this summer.
Yeah, it could be July.
Yeah.
But what we need to have is a focus that goes through this life. And even beyond this life into the future, is it going to be an eternal life with Christ, or is it going to be an eternity in hell? And we've got to look at that. We've got to focus on that to be able to make decisions along the way. Now, granted, there's going to be a lot of things happen between the time that we grow and the time that we die. I mean, average person lives to be about 70 years old, 72, 3 years old. That's average. But not everybody gets there.
Right.
Not everybody gets there. And so we've got to make that future decision for success now, because we don't know what lies out there in the future for us. You can be just as healthy as a horse today, sound as you can be.
Yeah.
And tomorrow you can get you a bad report.
That's right.
And then you got to deal with that.
Yeah.
But you don't need to wait until you get in trouble in a physical way to get your life right with God. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be scared half to death to get your life right with God. You need to be able to make those decisions right now.
That's right.
Now, the number to call is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com.
Well, you know, David, we brought up an interesting point a moment ago when we were talking about this decree that came down from the king.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the ruler of the land.
Right.
His statements were law. Whatever he said, that was law. So now when we're talking about, I make a decision, I'm going to do what's right, and that will help me in the future. What if we find ourselves in a position where there are laws that are passed in America that are contrary to the laws of God? Because the Bible tells us, and you may want to turn over to Romans chapter 13 with me if you have the opportunity. In Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, let every soul, that doesn't leave anybody out.
No, that's about everybody.
That's about everybody. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, he's talking about governmental authorities. He says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
Now what that means, what that means is if we resist the law,
okay,
then it says we shall receive damnation. We will have sinned if we violate the law.
Okay.
Is that not what that's saying to us there, Kerry?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's saying.
Okay, let's go on with it. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Verse number 3, Romans 13. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, that is the king, or governmental authority, is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. Now, David, listen to this next phrase. For he beareth not the sword in vain. There are a lot of people in America that are opposed to capital punishment, and the Bible says that government has the right for capital punishment.
Right, that sword that he's talking about is used for one thing. It's for death.
Yeah, it's not for spanking somebody.
No.
You don't spank somebody with a sword. You cut their head off, but you don't spank them with it. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. David, he says, pay your taxes.
Mm-hmm. Pay your taxes.
For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You know, David, very clearly that scripture saying, I've got to obey the laws of the land.
Right, right. But now, when you get back to what you talked about in Daniel.
Okay.
Daniel actually violated the law
he
of
did.
The land, and Daniel was not sinning, so how can we justify the two here? Now, here is where we have to go back into the book, and here is where we need to be studious and students of God's Word. Folks, it's just about time for a break. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to pick it up right here with obeying the laws of the land and making decisions based upon the future, based upon your spiritual future in heaven.
You know, we just left you a cliffhanger, so you've got to come back after the break.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord.
The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-sized Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Barkhites Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.archivecoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, the people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this afternoon. We certainly appreciate you tuning in, and if you would like to join in on the discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's area code 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, David, we kind of left everybody with a cliffhanger when we went to the break. We were talking about the fact that according to Romans chapter 13, that the government has been established and ordained of God, and that we are to be obedient to the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we just read from Daniel chapter 6 where there was a law that had been made, and Daniel violated that law. And so the question that we left you with before we went on the break, how do we harmonize those scriptures? Is it that we just look at the Bible and say, well, we've got a contradiction, so let's throw it in the trash and not mm-hmm. worry about it? Or is there some way that we can take and harmonize those scriptures and make it where we can understand it?
Right. Well, that's a good point. Well, we get back again to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there is no one that has any more authority on heaven or in heaven or on earth except Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 or 18, he says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, the apostles knew this.
Yes.
John and Peter knew this, and yes, they were arrested for doing something similar that Daniel was doing in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. They had a very good answer for it. Kerry, are you there?
Yes.
And all right.
In Acts chapter 5, and I hope you have your Bibles and you can follow along with us, in Acts 5 and verse 28, the council, and this is that like would be our Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
The council said, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And David, what the apostles were demonstrating for us is that God is sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
He's over the world, as you just read from Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 28. And when there is a law that has been made in whatever country it is, the United, you can't worship the God of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
When that law is passed, the Christian says, I've got to obey God because God told me to worship Him on the first day of the week.
Right.
And so on the first day of the week, David, we're going to gather together, and we're going to continue to worship God like we did before, even though that law has been made in America, and this is a hypothetical, obviously, but that law has been handed down, and so we must obey God in that instance.
Right. And if we don't get anything else out of this one broadcast right here, we need to understand this. There is no man-made law that will ever, ever supersede God's law.
That's right.
Never will it ever be. But let's back this up a little bit and then bring it back forward. Let's back this up to high school.
Okay.
Let's back this up to high school and coaches that want their kids to practice on Wednesday nights or Sunday afternoons.
Yes.
Or even on a scheduled tournament games in on Sunday. And we're talking about high school and we're talking about college. used to, those things were never messed with.
That's right.
And now you see it happening all of the time. And what these kids need to be able to do, these young men and women who are growing up, who are now reaching adulthood, they're young adults, they have to be responsible for the decisions that they make.
That's
now.
Right.
And what's what we're talking about is making that decision, being decisive. Now, they ought to be able to pull right back into the word that they have placed in their heart, sanctified in their heart. They ought to go right to that word and tell that coach, no, I can't do it.
Right.
I cannot do it. I cannot violate what I told Jesus that I was going to do. I made a confession. I made a profession of my faith. I'm not going to be unfaithful to him just because you say that I have got to do something that you said to do over what God has said to do.
Well, folks, if y'all want to join in the discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. And David, there's also an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And by the way, while we've got a moment, I just want to add this. If you are listening to the radio program over the internet, I don't know all the technical jargon that's involved in this, but every once in a while, the computer here at the radio station has to refresh. And when it does that, you might lose your connection. And when it happens, all you've got to do is hit the refresh button on your computer, and it'll bring it right back up. Now, I'm not an expert, and if you've got any more questions, call old Chris here behind the switchboard, and he can explain it to you better than I can. But if you happen to be listening and you lose it on the internet, just hit the refresh button, and you'll be able to pop it right back on and follow along with it.
That electronic word, that compound word, refresh, that's
yeah.
a tough one now.
Yeah,
but we got that one.
Yeah.
We got that one. Good. Okay.
Chris told us real well. He said refresh. So we got that one. But friends, the point that we're making, if you're at this point in high school, and David, we had that problem with our kids. They were in sports. They were in band. They were in UIL. They were in all the things that kids are in. And there were times when a teacher or a coach would go to them and say, look, you've got to be at practice on Wednesday night. And David, we told them always up front, no, our kids are not going to be there. You know, David, we've got a lot of young people that go out into the workplace and they'll take a job. Well, our kids went out and worked when they were in
mm-hmm.
school, and we mm-hmm. told them the first thing you do is you tell your employer, I will not work on Sunday, and I will not work during Wednesday night Bible class. And for the most part, they didn't have any problems with that.
As a matter of fact, Kerry, I get a lot of people telling me that, you know, I've just got to work. I've got to work, and the only way that I can do this is to take the job that's going to make me work on Sunday. And I have found that we can make some kind of an arrangement.
That's right.
And make sure that we don't put ourselves in that place, even if they want us to work on Sunday. We can get to work early.
Yeah.
We can take off for a couple of hours during the worship services.
That's right.
We can do the same thing on a Wednesday night. We can make it up on an off day. We can do all kinds of things. As long as we're willing to do that, I have yet to find somebody that says, no, I'm just not going to let you do that.
Well, if you are in a good employee,
mm-hmm.
most of the time your employer is going to work with you. David, I had that happen not too long after I became a Christian. I was working at a roof truss place building roof trusses, and this was back in the early 80s when things were really booming around Dallas. And they started going to a 12-hour shift, and they were working 7 days a week. They didn't close the place up. It was open all the time. And the supervisor came to me and said, you're going to have to start working on Sundays. And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, well, yes, you are. And I said, what's going on? So he explained to him, and I said, well, like you said, I'll come in early, I'll make it up, or you can just dock my pay, whatever you want to do, but I'm not going to miss work. Made that guy so mad, David, I thought he was going to fight me. And I said, well, let's just go to the owner of the business and talk to him. So we went to this man's name was Bart, and I explained the circumstance, and he said, Kerry, it's okay. You take off and go to worship whenever you want. But see, I had to go all the way to the very owner of the business.
You've got to be determined.
That's exactly right.
This is another one of those steps. One of those keys that we have here, and this decisiveness sits on top of initiative and determination.
Yeah.
And all of this falls right back on the loyalty that we have. Yeah. To our Lord and Savior,
that's
Jesus
right.
Christ. Once we have made that profession of faith, it falls right back to the loyalty. If we're loyal enough, then we're going to have the responsibility, we're going to have the determination, we're going to have the initiative, and then we're going to make those decisions that are right concerning our future.
That's right.
Our future.
That's right.
Now when we're talking about kids in high school, we're talking about kids in college, we're talking about kids or young men and women that take these jobs, we are talking about making decisions that are going to affect our future. But now we get back to what was read here in just a moment ago in Romans chapter 13. We're talking about the country in which we live. Now, what are we going to do if we have laws made that are going to violate our profession of faith and violate our loyalty to God? What are we going to do, Carrie?
Well, back to Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Absolutely.
I think it's in Acts chapter 4 and verse 19, similar situation, and Peter responds and says, well, you judge whether we should obey God or you, but you tell me,
right.
Do I obey God or do I obey you? And obviously they understood you've got to obey God. And you know, David, once we've made that decision and we know we're not going to reconsider it, and then we've made the commitment so that in the future I'm going to be successful, then, David, I've got to devote all my energy to that decision that I've made.
Right.
I've got to put my entire being. When I become a Christian, folks, I need to put all my energy and my effort to know this Bible that God has given me.
Right.
Know it from cover to cover. Now, I've got to know what God said in Genesis. And I need to know what God taught in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to know everything in between. Does that mean that we'll know it all and never have to study again? That's not the point. The point is that we read it, we study it, find out what God wants us to do, and then devote all our energy to doing what God said.
Right. Well, you know that passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. I keep going back to that because it says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Now, that word sanctify means to put apart, to set apart,
yes.
To set aside. So when you look at that passage of Scripture, what you see the Holy Spirit through Peter telling us here is we are going to have to set aside a place in our heart, that is our mind, our spiritual heart. We're going to have to set a place aside, a place in our heart that belongs to God and to no one else.
And it's got to be first place.
Absolutely no one else. And it's got to be first place. Now, the very moment then I let something or someone occupy that place in my heart that properly belongs to God, it is right then that I have made a decision to sin.
That's exactly right. And once we waver,
mm-hmm.
when we know what's right and we know that we've made that decision to do what's right, when I'm confronted with the situation, when I waver, that's when Satan's got the door open.
You bet.
And he's going to kick the door and he's going to finish coming in because he knows that he's got me at a disadvantage.
And the subtlety of Satan is so,
wow.
So bad. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. We don't need to overlook those first two words. Be sober,
that's
means
right.
To be alert and in mind and do nothing of a physical nature that is going to alter the alertness of your mind.
That's right.
And then be vigilant, be always watching for the... for your adversary, that is your absolute total enemy, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I'm scared to death of a lion.
Yeah.
I am absolutely scared to death of a lion. And you see people today that turn their nose and just flaunt sin at God and toy with Satan.
Yeah.
It's nothing to be toyed with. The decision to toy with him is the decision to die.
That's right. Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7, to submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
Draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you.
Right.
You know, right. that really sums up what we're talking about, folks. We've got to submit to God, resist the devil, and then when we get closer to God, God's going to get closer to us. And then, friends, we're going to be able to have great success.
Okay.
You got something else, Dave?
Well,
you want to talk about?
This decisiveness is such an integral part of these seven keys, and I hope that we can remember these seven keys. They are all building blocks for our personal growth, and God does expect us to grow, and we need to grow. Each and every one of us need to grow. We need to read our Bibles. We need to make those applications to our own lives. And the decisiveness that we make is going to be one of the major keys of this whole spiritual
That's right.
growth. And Kerry, all I want to say is that we want to ask God to bless America as we strive to pull this thing back around, home by home, heart by heart, and soul by soul.
Yes.
You've got the last word.
Well, we want to say how much we appreciate you tuning in. And, folks, if you would like a copy of the notes that David and I have used. Now, I did the notes, so they're kind of sparse. But if you would call the church building in Hamilton, and the number is 254-386-3953, and just ask for the notes, give an email address, and I'll be glad to send you those notes, and you can study this for yourself. But I want to echo David's word. May God bless you as you study His divine word.